$1 off this movement. I've made nothing off of this. And he was bagging us 3 years ago, calling us all loony conspiracy people until he made money off of us. And he's just like pointing the camera on him.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
But yeah, apparently, and yeah, they've told him, because he's just been there and like all of the violence that's happened, they're saying like it's all just the Yemeni crew just starting it all. So they've got content as always.
Yeah.
So they've all just apparently told him to leave.
Well, is that Red Bull News?
Yeah, Rebel News, yeah.
Yeah, that's an Israeli intelligence front.
Yeah, it's very
run
interesting.
Run out of Canada, but it's run now, from Tel Aviv, yeah.
Well, now look at their alliance with Simeon, you know, the Aussie Cossack, who was on the ASIO watch list, you know, for Russian nationalism in this country, you know. Now he's with United Australia and they're all working together, sort of the Russian-Israeli intelligence connection, yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah,
I thought that was funny, but yeah, if there's anyone getting money and not fulfilling their promises, mate, that's where you follow the money. Yeah,
yeah, big time.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, from what I saw in Melbourne, he was quite popular, you know. Still, I mean,
oh, he still is. He gets big numbers, and you know, look, if he helps wake a few people up, it's probably not the worst thing. But yeah, his motives obviously aren't honest and true, you know.
It's this whole violence thing, isn't it, you know, with the clashing with the police. It's just a vicious circle.
Yeah, exactly, mate. And you can't really have a go at him for it, you know. I just don't have the heart to just sort of, you know, get people, string people along like he does, you know, just to make money off of them, you know. It's all of them donating towards him, so if they want to do that, then if he knows a way to get the money out of them, then good on him. But you know, I just can't sort of stomach doing that myself, you know. It's not what it's all about, you know. But anyway.
Right, you're going to kick us off, brother?
Yes, mate. I was going to say I'll start recording and I'll bring yous in and catch up and we can go from there.
Sounds right, good, man.
No worries. No worries.
Just quick record here. Wait for it to start here. Takes a couple secs. Go. Alrighty. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You're tuned in to another edition of the Member Circle podcast, a new chapter for the website as we enter 2022. It's already flying past. We've just wrapped up January. And as we reflect back on, you know, the previous journey, the phantasm that we've gone through, and we look into the future, we see that really nothing is off limits. You know, there really is, when you peel back the layers of this deceptive reality that we see a lot of it's just piled up upon each other in terms of the simulations and in terms of the perceptions that have collectively gripped people in the mythology. And so moving forward, you know, we just find ourselves, as John Le Bon said when he appeared on the podcast, would have been 6 months ago now, that we've all made it to the wireframe mesh. And so what do we do at the wireframe mesh? Well, we just sit and observe and we take a look at what's going on. We take a look at the clown world, and I've got two gentlemen here today to have a chat with me about that clown world. Two guests that you're probably very familiar with. I'm sure you're not probably, but you're definitely very familiar with. Two people that have been on the show before. First, I got the man himself, General Lee Maddox, realnewsaustralia.com. How are you doing, mate? Thanks for taking the time out tonight.
Mate, it's a pleasure to be here, brother.
Awesome, mate. It's good to have you here, mate. It's been a bit wet over your ways. Been a bit destructive. How are you holding up?
Oh, mate, we lost power for like 5.5 hours on the big night, the Tuesday night. It was fucked, man.
Oh, you're kidding.
It was so hot that night too. We spent the whole night outside with candles and shit.
Wow.
Yeah, it was too fucking hot, man.
I was wondering how you were going, because it's been raining pretty heavily, but over where I am, not too far, actually, but we didn't get as near as bad a rain as that in terms of blackouts and stuff. I saw the local plaza was just destroyed near you, all the car park.
It was, so much going on, man. Fucking, it was just like a mini, actually someone shared footage, it was a mini tornado that actually touched down in Logan too, near where I am. They showed footage of it. Yeah, it was insane.
Oh, mate. Well, I think that this just shows us all the effects of climate change, and we should all be very wary of that. So I apologize for all my skepticism in the past. There's now tornadoes ripping through our local community for climate change, mate. It has nothing to do with geoengineering, but that's another story for another day. I'm glad you can join me here today, mate. And joining me on the show, we've got the man himself, Adam Kraz, Mr. Kraz from KrazFiles.com. Thanks for joining me, mate. How are you going?
Oh, good, man. Nice to be on.
It's good to have you on, mate.
So yeah, always, always good.
I've been very interested to catch up with you, mate. The last time we had a chat, I believe it was last year, perhaps, we were talking about the dystopian feel down there, and I'm sure that many things haven't changed down in your area. What's things been like for you down your ways? How have you been coping with all of this type of stuff? Have things eased up? Has the perception changed? What are you noticing in your local area at the moment, mate?
It's amazing, isn't it? Like we chatted last year, it seems like a minute ago, you know? So how fast it's going, it's amazing. Quite different. I mean, look, to be honest, it has been an incredible ride. I'm on Sydney's northern beaches, so I mean, it's not too bad here. I was just out today, and everyone's in masks still, and all of that still going on. But really, the shops have been okay. I haven't been asked or anything, you know. I go around, I get petrol, I might go to the bottle-o, I do things, I can go anywhere, I haven't been asked, so it's not too bad. It seems quite more relaxed. Yep. Down here since last year with those heavy lockdowns in Sydney's West that we talked about as well. Of course, they locked down the northern beaches, they had all these lockdowns, but unbelievably before, you know, when they're locking down entire states and entire cities for one case, now we have more cases than ever, and they're not locking down anymore, it seems.
Funny.
But it's a strange time. but it's been hard, you know, like our business was really crippled, so we just found ways to make things work, and find a way through. It's strange times. I've got family and friends who have been told they can't work unless they get those jabs, and they have gone and got them, you know, and yeah. Just straight away, whereas we've put a lot of effort and blood, sweat and tears into working out ways that we can continue to live and maybe get an income and not do that. So for them, it's been easy, you know, for that instant, to just get those injections and go on and keep working. But, you know, so it's been hard for us personally to maneuver through and to find a way. But, you know, and I just know in my gut that at the end of the day, it's the right decision, because I feel that, you know, I'm not going to gamble with any of that. I never was. And so for us, it has been a little hard. I guess being on the northern beaches is a bit better. I'm not in Sydney City or West or any of the big, you know, multicultural kind of places. It's kind of relaxed on the coast here. So it hasn't been too bad. I kind of try to stay away from all the shops and stuff. And on the weekend, we're pretty much out at the beach and things and getting fresh air, you know. So you don't see too much of it, but all in all, it's fairly relaxed, I'd say, around Sydney. I've been to a few of the protests, and one of the biggest ones, which was a great day in Sydney. Yep. A lot of people, and it was really nice just to be around that many people. I'm sure you guys go as well, and just to see that shift and change, and in people's attitudes and mindsets and what they're seeing. And that was probably, you know, a really, really good moment to go and be part of that. And they're still continuing. So not too bad, really. Haven't been able to travel or do much or anything. So it's been a hard couple of years.
Yeah.
And just working it all out. Yeah, we know more each day. We keep talking about it and working out what's going on. But it's I'm not really, to be honest, around Sydney City or any of those big areas. I'm kind of on the coast here, so I'm not too sure what's happening in those areas now. But I go along with my business anyway, you know. I've still not ever worn a mask. I just don't do any of it. In fact, I go into some big places, you know. I'll go into big places. People stare at you, you know, and I'll just walk in and get what I want. I'll even have a chat in there and walk out. I don't let it get to me, and I don't live my life any differently than I ever did. I'm not allowing these people to steal another second of my life.
I'll drink to that.
As you get older, you realize, especially when you have kids, how important every second is. It counts. And I'm not letting these people take any more of my time, and I'm not going to let them bring me down. So, you know, I go out and I live my life, and I do what I need to do. And I'm not having any problems, because I strongly assume that most businesses are not going to turn you away if you go in there, whether you're buying a six-pack of beer or a coffee or you're getting some shopping. If they want to, they're crazy. So, you know, and I won't support them anyway. But unfortunately, a big marketplace around here, where, you know, if you're out of the beach or go out in the day and do things, exercise, it's okay. But once you go near the shops, they're all in the mask still, but they're a little bit confused. They see me walk in, or they see you. They want to say something. I know they want to do it, like take those things off, but they just seem to be doing it now. And it's a little bit of a concern still. As we move into another year, but I'm not wearing them, mate, and I'm sure you guys aren't. And we move forward into 2022, and as best we can. And you just gotta survive and do the best you can. I've found with us some terrible kind of things happened, and very tough things happened. And I just, you know, I sat down and we thought about it. We talked as a family, and other things pop up, other ways through. And, you know, you just go this direction, you go that direction. Every time they make it hard, you find another way to do it. And we're still managing through into 2022, buddy.
Yeah, that's beautiful, mate. You adjust and you adapt, and you keep that push on, you know, in pursuit of your values, in pursuit
yeah, but you don't comply.
Standing strong.
You know? No, yeah, that's exactly what I've never done, because that's an honor thing and that's an integrity thing. And, you know, I'm not complying. I'm not complying. I'm not doing it, but I'm going to find a way to just keep living, you know?
Yeah, mate. Integrity is something that is definitely lost within most people these days. And it's refreshing to hear, because I myself do the same, you know, and I'm sure general as well. You know, I'm sure you'll experience the same thing, but just walking around, whether it's you feel like you're the odd one out, people look at you, but you stand by your values, you push through this false reality with a real sort of energy, and it's still, you're still able to do your stuff, but it's still this weird sort of setting. It's so weird. In fact, when we were at our member weekend, four of us went into a local establishment there without masks on, and I was saying, have any of yous gone into a shop before with this many people without a mask on? Because it's just so foreign. You know, we didn't know how people would react. We know how they react when we do it in our everyday lives, when we're the odd ones out. But when you do it as a massive group, what's the reaction going to be? And it's interesting you mentioned that, mate, because not only does it confirm some of the psychological aspects of it, that this really is a system of psychology and fear rather than an actual system that you know, is being enforced and needs to be followed, but it also talks about another thing that I wanted to bring up with you guys that perfectly fits into this, was the psychology of the great split. And you were just talking about it then, Adam, this concept that for your friends this has been easy. These people now just line up and get their shots and they just go about their business, whereas for people that have been segregated, people that have chosen to keep their bodily autonomy, this has now become a problem where they have to struggle to survive. They have to do everything they can. And like for people like me, I feel that that's a beautiful struggle. But this whole concept that we have to go through this whole struggle and we're in the trenches sort of going through mud, look at the convoy protests right now. But on the other surface side of things, there's a whole different reality. And so I want to get your thoughts on this, guys. I'll throw to you, General, to get your thoughts. I mentioned this on the latest Food for Thought and just to get people's ideas, but it seems as if the great split has begun in that sense already, in terms that, as you mentioned, Adam, it's, even though there's more cases than ever, there's not lockdowns and all this type of stuff. And I said that the mandates, they're only really going to be used as a mechanism to keep people out of the system. The people that are in the system now are living a different kind of reality. They're sitting there now thinking everything's back to normal. All my friends are at nightclubs and doing everything. They're flying. Some people are going to Miami overseas and flying because they've got their double jabs. They believe things are back to normal. So they're even more disconnected in reality to what our cause is and what our struggle is, because they're living a normal life. They're like, well, what is there to complain about? Whereas on the other side of things, people are in the trenches. So it seems to me, General, and what I'll get your thoughts on it.
Uh-huh.
First, the great split has already happened psychologically before, you know, we start to see genuine alternative communities and all this stuff formulate for real. What are your thoughts on that, mate? Do you see where I'm coming from here? Whereas moving forward, it's not as bad for them, but it is for us.
Well, let me just preface that conversation, because we talked about this way back, season 3, episode 4 of the GKP, mate, and that was on around November 16th, 2020, when we sort of first started to broach that conversation. And Andy kind of brought it up and, you know, started mentioning this great split that's been happening. And, yeah, then we sort of we talked about it again not too long after that. And then we also, you know, we mentioned it talking again with Graham. I think we mentioned it with Graham Lyons as well, too, when we had him on. But anyway, you know, we mentioned it that long ago. That's when we seemed to have noticed that it started to happen. You know, there was we saw this great split concept taking place and coming and, you know, and forging its way through. And we were like, well, which side are we going to be on here? And, you know, so now we've been analyzing it for that long. It's been that long since it's sort of come into play. And now you're right. There's this new version of it that seems to be happening. And I think the way they've done this, they have used a relapse of psychological trauma in order to do it. So the public seems to have just been completely bamboozled because they don't realize that it's happened, I don't think, Ethan. I think they're completely unaware. The general public at large is completely unaware that this new narrative, that the new normal has actually now begun, and it is now a part of their lives, even our lives too, to a degree, I guess. But I don't think that they saw the switch happen, because they used, like I said, a relapse of psychological trauma, which was, of course, all of this the new Delta and Omicron bullshit that came out. You know what I mean? Obviously, we know it's all fake and stuff, but they don't. So they use that as the catalyst to make that switch happen. Because what are we seeing now? We're seeing fucking masks everywhere all over again. Like this whole mask thing, you know what I mean? They took it away in only like November last year and said, no more masks, it's all good. Everyone take your masks off. Bam. Then that's when they switched over to the Omicron variant and the new psychological trauma began. And that's when they did the main switch, I reckon. And no one's, they didn't see it. I think we saw it. We kind of knew it was happening. But the public at large didn't see it happen, mate. And the switch has been made. The sleight of hand has been done. The magicians have pulled their trick.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's a very interesting perspective. When you really, really think about it, hey, they've also gone through this whole period where it's a traumatizing period, but now they've sort of just plucked out of it into what they believe is normal. And we've talked about the symbolic relationship between masks and submission, and people talking about this, you know, there's no difference between your employer telling you to get a jab and Harvey Weinstein telling you, you need my jab to keep your job, you know. Like people have been psychologically raped in a sense.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, you took the words out of my mouth. Yeah.
Yeah, they've been physically raped too. They've having these needles in. They're going to have to get them every 3 months, and they just think that this is the normal. And you're completely right. It's almost that I can see that completely, that they've come out of this period where they almost – so much has happened that they don't even know that that has come and passed, and that they might even not know what the – prior world was before that. That's very interesting, mate. I can completely see where that's coming from. Adam, do you also see that perspective, that perhaps the masses, not only are they going through a split, well, first of all, I'll get your thoughts on that, mate, this whole split, which you've already sort of alluded to, but not only have they gone their own separate ways in terms of the way they're living their lives now, and they don't have to quote-unquote worry about the struggle, they'll just have to worry about the epsilon struggle that waits them, but they don't have to do that struggle, and potentially there is this psychological torment, or maybe all of this information wasn't meant for us, maybe it was all for them to put them in this state of trauma to be used against them time and time again, as General said. What are your thoughts, mate?
Yeah, I strongly agree with everything you guys have mentioned there. And just another part of it that I have noticed very strongly, just looking at New South Wales, we had this new Clark Kent character, I call him, Dominic. this guy is very interesting in how they shifted him in and shifted the Gladys Berejiklian out, you know. She represented that kind of hammer blows of lockdowns and brutality on the public here, you know. And then he came in, didn't he? And it sort of gave that the public in New South Wales that there was that perspective of, you know, like we've got a brighter future. And that's what everyone was thinking, that this guy's going to be better. And I followed the whole thing, yeah, very, very closely. And I saw what he did. And I remember how he said that we hit the 80% double jabbed rate in New South Wales. And he put up these pictures on his Twitter account, congratulations, you did it, and all of this stuff, you know, it's unbelievable, psych warfare stuff, and, you know, we did it, and then for the next week on the news, he was promising all this stuff, it was amazing, you know, to watch it, and I covered it on podcasts, and he was out and about, he always was at pubs, and he was drinking schooners of beer and opening kegs. I was covering that. One blew up and it went all over his glasses and they were all laughing about it, you know. And it was like this whole sense of through the media that we're free, that, you know, 80% of us, even though their numbers are very dodgy to say the least, but it was that whole thing, you know, that, you know, you did it, New South Wales, you know, we did it together, you know, this was a battle, we got through it, and now we're on the other side and it's time to open up. And, you know, on this date, 17th of December or 15th, which was my birthday, and I remember that, you know, we're all, the unvaccinated can go back with their lives and everything. And when that day came, it lasted a week. And the funny thing is, I couldn't get out or do anything, and I was really far behind. And I did go to a local mall to do some Christmas shopping, and it was just so depressing. It was so depressing because in that space, you know, all these people were being told to put away the masks, that you don't need them, and you don't, you know, when they did that in New South Wales, they took out the QR code.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
We had a business here, and they actually, the government sends you emails and stuff saying, take it out, unless you're like a gym or, you know, some certain businesses, out. And the mask off, you know, they were telling you. And I went to the mall in that week, and 9 out of 10 people had masks. It was interesting to see stores like Kmart and all these, how they had these kind of people out the front who were assuming that you had to QR code in. So they were like bullying people but not saying anything, you know what I mean? So people would, I saw it, they would walk up to the Kmart entrance and this big lady would be standing there in a mask and kind of give them the eyes, you know, and they'd pull their phone out and QR code, but there was no need for it, you know? And I walked around in there and people would just look depressed. It was just a sad time. I never wanted to go back there again, and I never have. I hated it. It was horrible. But there's just all these people in masks, and they didn't take them off. It was unbelievable. And then what was it? A week after that, they started drip feeding the restrictions back again. But it wasn't like Gladys did, where it was blunt force. You know, like we're locking you down. He kept saying that he wasn't, but he was incrementally reintroducing the same restrictions dose by dose over many weeks into the month. And then eventually we kind of got them all back again, the same system, but people didn't notice. So there was another part of this where, you know, I think they were testing people, you know. And it kind of, I got that feeling, as you guys were saying, that people just aren't noticing anymore, or they're just kind of almost giving up to it. And another interesting thing as well that I've noticed is that I think I would strongly assume on my part that the lockdowns were used to psychologically damage people, in such a way that really it's got to the point where even if this guy comes back in and he reintroduces the restrictions that we had, and, you know, he brings them back again, but we're not locking down. You've noticed that? So they've reintroduced restrictions, but we're not locking down anymore, as the Prime Minister said. Well, that's whatever you want to call this guy. But, you know, I think from what I've talked to people about and I've heard them saying, basically, as long as they don't lock down again, I'm prepared to go through all this. So I really started to see that the lockdowns were used very, very, you know, in a very, very, you know, I don't know, like a sick way to really damage people psychologically. So beat that, you know, yeah, they on the, you know, on the other side of this, they could give that illusion, you know, that, what's that word, guys, that when you're in the desert and you think you see a bottle of water, you know, that it's like a mirage. People come out of this and they honestly believed, they still believe that, it, as you said, Ethan, that everything's back to normal and everything's okay, even though they're going to sporting events and working with masks on. And it's still the same as it was last year, minus the lockdowns, you know what I mean? So that's what General alluded to, which I agree with. That's what they did. They kind of, and I've said this before, it's like that trick where they have the tablecloth with all the stuff on the table and the guy pulls the tablecloth out and everything stays put, or the cutlery and the glasses. It's like they've done that. It's such an amazing thing. And people are now quite happy to have these, you know, restrictions that we're still living in. And people are still wearing masks. They are. They're still in masks. And I walk around and I see them every day. They're still living the same bloody system as we were last year, minus the lockdowns. And I don't mind this as long as those lockdowns don't come back. You know, and that's the whole thing now. Don't lock us down again. And this is the trauma thing. This is the whole, you know, Stockholm syndrome. You know, captor bonding. You know, you have someone locked up in the cellar, you abuse them, then you let them out, have a bit of sunshine, give them a little nibble, and then you abuse them again. It's like that. In, out, and they've been such abused, most people, with these lockdowns. It's really caused trauma with their families and kids, and they will do anything not to go through that again, because that means, you know, no work, no holidays, I can't go out, all this stuff again. I don't want to go back into that situation, so I'm prepared to do all of, you know, or, to go through these new restrictions, whatever they may be, as long as they don't bring back those old lockdowns. So that is a big part of it as well. And that shows you, or implies heavily, that, you know, that was done with intent. They meant it and they know what they're doing. And it wasn't just lockdowns. That was designed to really damage people, not us, because we're aware, you know. And that's why I always say it's so important to study this system, and awareness is the key, because when you're aware, it won't hit you as hard and you'll be prepared. And I knew this was happening, so I didn't let it get to me. But people really, they were really emotionally shattered from these lockdowns. It destroyed families. It tore them apart. I've met people who said that, you know, there's so much divorce and stuff, it really shattered them, and they'll do anything to not go back to those lockdowns again. So if it's, you know, AI technology and all these COVID passes and spying on you and wearing masks everywhere you go and all this stuff that was there before, they'll do it, but just don't lock me down again, sir. You know, so it's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, mate. It's a fascinating part of the dynamic, and it really shows you as well the role that these so-called premiers also play within this. You know, a lot of people just criticize them, and I do as well, just as actors of the system, but they're not just harmless actors. You know, I said it way back at the start of this. It seems different now. It seems like the premiers and ministers that have come forward are almost proper representatives of the system. They're not just yuppies involved in politics that have been plucked up, and it's like, it's all fake, kid. You just represent us now. It's more so the actual structure itself, because these people enjoy doing this big psychological game. And we had Gladys on our TVs up here in Queensland every day at 11 a.m., and which was funny because that's when they did the 2 minutes of hate every day in George Orwell's 1984. She was constantly on the TV. And she had that stern face, that look about her. And you were right, mate. She was this authoritarian that talks about, we're going to put you into lockdown, we're going to do this, this is the way that it is. Always saying, well, I just like to stress, all this type of stuff. And then when old mate Dominic come in, it was more of a soft approach. And it's fascinating to link that to the deeper psychology that, as you said, you let him out of the cage and just give him some sunshine, and they'll do anything. And even to the point where you go through as you said, through a supermarket or anywhere now, even if there are no restrictions, people still do it and still eye you off like you still are someone that is doing it. It's like that they've been so traumatized now that they have become the enforcers of their own enslavement. They don't need to be told to do so anymore. They've been trained to do it themselves. Mm. And we look like the good guys because we're not enforcing lockdowns and we're not doing this. We're finding the alternatives. But at the same time, the people call for harder things. Look at the school. I'm not sending my kid back to school until he's vaccinated. But the health experts say, no, it's fine. You can do that. Why is that the social dynamic now? Well, it's because people have been trained, on one hand, to trust the experts and everything they say. But when it comes to getting back to normality, that's the only time they question what the establishment is saying. Oh, Scott Morrison and all of this are out of their minds. You can't do this. It's too early. No, we need lockdowns again. No, we need masks back. Go hard and fast. They call for it. They question them during that period, but not with everything else they say. And so it's a weird dynamic. General, have you noticed this in Queensland as well with people that you've interacted with out in the public? Have you seen similar things to what Adam's describing?
Absolutely, actually, yeah. It's like they're happy to – what's that? There's a saying, something like the best prisoners are the ones that guard themselves or something, you know, like they're – they're just these prisoners in a prison, but they're more than happy to not only, you know, love the prison and the prisoner and their, you know, and the guards. They're in love with it all. They love their own servitude. They love their own slavery. This greater public around us. They're so asleep to what's really happening, but they love it. They'll guard it. They'll defend it. You know what I mean? They defend their own servitude.
It's crazy.
It is. It's insane. I'm just trying to think of examples of it, but there's just so many that come to mind. Like you just see it when you go out and you're watching them still QR checking and just going to the shops and every place they go to, you know, even if they're just filling up their tank with fuel at the 7-Eleven, you know, and then they'll go and check in still. I'm like, well, I just want to go up and go, you know, you don't actually have to do that anymore. They're not even facilitating contact tracing at all. There is no contact tracing anymore. So why are you checking in? Oh, yeah, right. Do people even realize that? You know what I mean? Like, there is no contact tracing now. So why are they still making people sign in, or why are people still voluntarily signing in? They've been trained to do it, and they love it. They think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah, it feels, you know, proper. I mean? It's normal.
That's right. That's normal. That has become normal. They have the behavioral psychology is just insane. You know, they know what they're doing, and they have trained these people so well, you know. That whole, I think I mentioned it once before, can't remember if it was on this show or not, but yeah, they have their little reward system in place in a sense, you know what I mean? Like they know they get that good feeling that they've done the right thing. They've been told that, you know, to do the right thing, and doing this checking in and doing a mask, wearing a mask is the right thing. And if you do it, you'll get your little reward, which is, you know, feeling good and virtue signaling to the rest of all your friends and everything else, you know?
Yeah.
And they love it. They love that. That behavioral psychology part of it, you know, they don't realize they've been trained to do it.
And now it's all rat tests and rapid antigen. Who's got a rat test available? And
yeah, have you seen, you know, instead of the 60 Minutes or the Today Tonight fucking bullshit talking about how ridiculous this rat, you know, the rapid antigen testing, even the PCR test, how all bullshit that is, you know, what are they actually testing for? There's none of that. It's all about, oh, this guy's selling dodgy tests from overseas that haven't been certified here. You know, like, fucking hell, man. Seriously? That's what you're trying to do? You know, oh, far out. It's funny. I have to laugh at it.
Yeah, well, that's it, mate. And I've spoken about, you know, like, when I read Dante's Inferno, and I think that's such a powerful book, people wonder why they call it, it's called the Divine Comedy of Life. And because comedy meant something completely different back then. Comedy was something... It was laughing in the face of just inevitable sort of chaos and carnage, you know. It was humor was something that come out for dark humor, sort of was the beginning of it, you know. It was things just to laugh when you really are just looking at something you really can't explain, something that's beyond your comprehension, you know, and seeing all of this happen, it's almost like a completely different reality to what we know, and what we know is normality. And you gotta laugh at it, mate. You gotta take the piss out of it sometimes. And here's a funny thing I found in the ABC, and it was, why have there been more vaccinated than unvaccinated people in intensive care? And so according to a COVID-19 surveillance report that was released, between November 26 and January 8, 215 double vaccinated people were admitted to intensive care compared with 55 unvaccinated people. So 215 double jabbed compared to 55, that's in New South Wales, according to New South Wales Health in their report in intensive care. So now they're asking the question, why are they more vaccinated than unvaccinated in intensive care? It's just a complete clown show that just keeps rolling on, mate.
You know what I've noticed a lot too, boys, and I know I shouldn't because it kind of triggers me, but I get on to like Brisbane Times and things like that when they in 9MSN, whatever, when they post those kinds of articles that you were kind of just you're alluding to there, and I'll jump on and I'll have a look at the comments, and you know, all us anti-vaxxers are on there going, oh yeah, look at that, see, told you, you know, like, look at all the numbers, you know, there's so many vaxxed in the hospital and only a couple of unvaxxed, right? And then you get these fucking moron pro-vaxxers getting on there going, look at these stupid anti-vaxxers. They're actually laughing at their own stupidity and stuff because, you know, and I know what they're getting at. They'll say things like, well, if the 95% of the population's vaxxed and there's three unvaxxed people in hospital, that completely blows out the ratio and just goes to show you, you know, like, but I mean, like, well, there's a lot of lying going on with those news articles and these briefings that, you know, Kevin Chant, as you call her, comes out, Dr. Kevin Chant, Adam, talking about, you know, there was 33 people died. There was, you know, 27 fully vaxxed. And, you know, they give you all the details. And they'll say some age groups of the people, but they won't give you the specific details, you know what I mean? And that's kind of why they're lying by omission as well, because these people don't realize that, you know what, the two or the one or the three unvaxxed people that may have died with COVID or whatever, you know, like they probably were at the in that 90 plus age group that they mentioned, but they didn't actually say it. You know what I mean? They're failing to give all of the actual information. And to me, that's simply just lying by omission, because then it looks like, yeah, then people can get on like those idiots, the pro-vaxxers, and say, you know, oh, yeah, the percentages are off. You guys are all stupid. There's more unvaxxed people per capita in hospital. You know, I mean, like, even though they're completely wrong, of course. But, yeah, I just...
That's it, mate,
It does my head in, but I like I said, it triggers me when I get on there. But I do it anyway, just
the
to
comments.
Sort of see. Yeah,
the comments, they're golden and they're outrageous at the same time, seeing how many, like some just get thousands of comments and whatnot going off. But yeah, I was going to mention that. That's the underlying thing is ABC sort of changed this headline. So when you click on it, that was their sort of Facebook headline, why is there more unvaccinated? But then when you click on the article, it says, we need to look at the bigger picture when understanding the hospitalizations and exactly as you said, mate, go into talking about the ratios. Oh, well, if there's only 10% of the population unvaccinated and there's 50 people in intensive care, that's a higher ratio than the... Right? And just go off like that. But again, I've always said that is only applicable if you believe their statistics and their population counts.
That's right. They're controlling the parameters of the game, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And we know how it can be morphed with statistics. And I wanted to float something interesting to you guys just based on that. In terms of statistics and populations, and you know, I've always spoken about the resources and all this stuff, trying to attack all of these people from every angle. When people say, oh, well, you're only 10% of the population, it's like, what population? Do you know how many people? Do you know how that's determined? This is just something that I've thought of within the last sort of 24 hours, and I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it. We can agree that most people are on social media, right? Most people just in the modern Australian landscape, they're online, they're on social media. And the official tally is that there's 14 million Australians on Facebook, right?
Okay, righto.
So one thing I was thinking of was through all of your years on Facebook, and I've been on Facebook for years, have you ever seen that volume of people actually on Facebook? Now, I know it's a broad question, but I've never really seen a post that has 1 million likes or 500,000 likes. You might get 50,000, you know, like, and these are worldwide posts for those types of things. You'd think that news websites especially would have massive numbers. where are all of these supposed 14 million Australians that are on Facebook? Have you guys seen them? I'll throw to you, General, because, you know, you're on Facebook. I know you are as well, Adam. Mm. But for you first, General, have you seen, just off of your perceptions, I don't have any, like, conclusive sort of proof of this, and I know there's variables involved in terms of what you see and stuff.
Yeah,
but
I was going to mention the variables, Even
if you try find some of the most popular pages, because the humans have commonalities between themselves, right?
Yeah.
There's so many commonalities in terms of humor and things like that and things that we're interested in. You would think there would be at least one post that would even have a fraction of that. I haven't even seen anything that's got close to a million reactions just in Australia, let alone the world. So I want to throw to you just to get your thoughts on all of that, mate. Am I looking into it too much, or am I sort of on a path here? Where is everyone that they claim is on Facebook?
Well, you're a crazy conspiracy theorist, of course. it's a good question, actually. And if we're going to look at it with just face value like that, then I think there is merit to what you're saying, and you're right. The evidence doesn't show us that there's these, you know, large swaths of people in Australia, you know, at key times, like, you know, in the evenings and stuff when everyone's supposed to be online and, you know, all these users are online. Like, I reckon even if they actually released the proper Facebook data of usage and that sort of stuff, because I don't think what they actually put out is correct. You know, they always adjust it to make themselves look better or whatever it is. You know, I just don't think it's true. But if they actually released the proper information, I think you'd be right. I don't think there would be that many people actually on it or using it. Yeah, you're right, because you don't see that amount of likes. The most amount of likes you'll see on people's posts and things might be like, at the most, on a key topic that's, you know, on point and it's going around, it's going viral, there might be 10,000 likes on it maybe, or reactions or whatever, you know what I mean? And a few thousand comments,
yeah,
and that's about it, and a few hundred shares. And it's like, well, really? Like, and then maybe I don't know what the parameters are. I don't use Instagram. I think you do, but I don't. Maybe they changed it recently so you couldn't see it anymore. But I don't think that it's the same sort of thing. It's not as many happening. But if you put them, this is the same company, of course. If you put them both in the same boat, because the younger generation mainly uses Insta, but it doesn't seem like there's that many people. I know we've questioned that whole population narrative as well, but yeah, I don't think there's that many people, that many users on there.
I think it's interesting, mate. I sort of look at it, and from what I see, and I sort of tie it to these other things, what I see in the physical realm, where are all these millions of people that supposedly live in Brisbane and all this stuff?
Let me put this to you. You've got around 16,000 likes of your Tot News Facebook page, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not getting, you know, 10,000 likes on a post or whatever. You're getting good numbers, but you're not getting all these, you know, where's those 16,000 people? You know what I mean? Like,
exactly, yeah. Where are they
yeah, coming?
Well, that's it. Like, I suspect that a lot of mine is sort of algorithms, but when you look at other pages that have 40,000, 50,000, 100,000, they've got the same level of engagement that I have. You know what I mean? Like, they're only getting a couple thousand likes for popular posts and a couple hundred for their regular ones. The like news pages in Australia that have 100,000, 130,000 followers.
Mm.
So I see that, yeah, there's definitely probably an algorithm part of it as well, but it just makes me think, mate. Like, I was watching when we were going through the pandemic phase, we would get notifications, like you'd get alerts from Scott Morrison is now doing a press conference, right?
Yeah.
And there'd always only be about 20,000, 30,000 people that would tune in. You know, and they're trying to tell us that we have all of these millions of people in Australia, and I just thought that potentially this might just be another chink in the armor that they have. I know there's so many variables involved, but I was just thinking of that, you know, something different in terms of I don't see these people online either. Like, fair enough, if I've got errors and I'm looking around Brisbane and can't see them, and I know that they can't really determine off of all of their stats that they do, it's all estimates. But then I go online and, like, I saw Sportsbet the other day, 35,000 likes on Facebook, you know, so and I know that there's still a lot of people that aren't on Facebook, but again, if they say there's 14 million people, they're playing into all of this propaganda, all of this population nonsense, because at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. Oh, well, Yeah, all the jabbed are in hospital, but there's more of a ratio of you guys than there is of us, you know. But they, again, they're just putting their faith that that is an accurate number, which is
exactly
interesting.
You know where they all are? They're all over at the Krasfalls, mate. That's where they are.
They're all over at the Krasfalls. Mate, is there any truth to this, Adam? They all over at you. Are you hiding?
I'm not seeing
it. He's hoarding them. He's a hoarder. He hoards the likes. He hoards the all the people of views. He loves it.
Doesn't happen.
What are your thoughts on that, mate? What are your thoughts and just on this general notion? No, maybe not just Facebook. What are your thoughts on this general notion that potentially we're being lied to about the size of our population? It's just because we've all been condensed into highly populated cities that we think that there's a lot. But even when you look around, it doesn't seem like there's as many people, and there's more people down there around where you are. So I'm interested to get your thoughts. Mm. Do you look around and see that amount of people? What are your thoughts on this concept that they may be lying to us about how many people we are in this country and on Earth?
Well, of course, yeah. And I think you could tie in the vaccination or jab rates. They are telling me, and I'm in Sydney, New South Wales, that 95 or nearly 95% of people in this state are double jabbed, which would leave 5%, and I'd be one of that 5%. That's just their official narrative, that they say. And you're sitting here thinking, and then ScoMo's getting up there and saying that the unvaccinated are filling all of New South Wales hospitals, that it's our fault. So he's telling me that 95% of people are double jabbed and 5% of us are filling all the hospitals in New South Wales. It'd be interesting to look at how many hospitals there are in New South Wales and how many beds they have and what the capacity is and how that would stack up against 5%. But, you know, I think what people need to understand, and this is the most important thing, is that this, let's just call it a beast grid, a beast system, this system has to bluff you always to maintain control and order and to suck in your belief. So it's like the thing that we had to do last year, I've just had a brain freeze for the when we have to fill out the census.
Okay,
you know, right. When you got to do the census, and you know, I just crossed it out and boom, 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 and sent it back. You know, I didn't do it. But have you seen the fines that they say? So, and it's like completely bogus. It's like the police and everything they do. It's like you don't fill out the census, and how much is hundreds of dollars a day? And I watched the video where an Australian guy broke it down. He said, "Well, they need to do that to bluff you, you know." So you shit, you know. And they do this with everything. Their fines everywhere that you look. If you question or you know try to go against the system in any way, there's this bluff going on where they there's threat in some way, shape or form, you know, that you're going to get fined or punished or whatever, so you submit. And that's what they always do. And so it's very obvious when you're looking at the big players like the mainstream media and Facebook and everything that they're going to puff their chests up and they're going to put out this whole poker bluff that they're bigger than they really are. You know, and that implies to the public that they are, and that you know everyone's on there, and I'm going to go on there. So I think the whole thing is a real scam, you know. And it's interesting to look at some so-called big alternative media platforms. Like I know he's been getting a lot of attention lately, Ethan, the Joe Rogan podcast. You know, really they're just pushing virus theory, which I don't follow it, but I mean they're telling us that he has, of course, 11 million daily listeners. 11 million daily. 11. Your 11. But 11 million daily listeners. Now, how the hell does a podcast get 11 million people a day? And so you do see this a lot with big, even alternative media. You just go on there and you're like, how? When I put up a BitChute video and it's got a couple hundred views over a few weeks or a month, you know, how the hell are these guys getting 11, 12, 15, you know, millions, even on YouTube? You see these videos and it's just so, I think it's AI, like it's algorithms and everything, but I think it's AI in there and I just don't buy any of it. But obviously people, we have that whole system where people go off likes and status. So, you know, if there's a video and there's lots and lots of views, they're more likely to watch it. Yeah, and YouTube did that to just our podcasts, you know. They always do that. They, you know, you would go on there, there's 70 views, 170 views, and then you go, I had that, I took screenshots of it, then it's back to 50, you know. So, but these ones, you're just like, how is that even possible that some of these guys are getting that amount? And as you said, Ethan, you look at the mainstream media news, and it's just not possible. It doesn't seem that really that many people are even watching it. But you look at the way that they present themselves and their sets and the control they do have, and they just have so much, they must have so much money coming in from the networks or their owners, you know. I guess that's how they pull it off. But I feel like it's all a show, and that's what you've got to put in to sell things, you know. You can't just sell shit and not put in a show. You've really got to flash it up. And when they flash things up and they make you think that that's why I brought in the vaccination thing, because they're making you think that everyone's getting it. And if you don't get it, you're just not on deck with all of us, you know. And that's the whole game that they've been playing all throughout Australia, not just New South Wales. You know, everybody's getting the jab. They're all getting their jabs. And you, Joe Blow, are going to be left out if you don't. You're not one of us. And that isolates people, you know. Yeah, it does.
I reckon it was their undoing, because I reckon instead of forcing on everyone and doing all the coercion and all that, I reckon if they just went, all right, guys, here's the vaccine. It's here. It's, you know, It's here if you want it. Whenever you're ready for it, it's here, ready to go, you know. And then just promoted that side of it. I reckon they probably would have had a much better.
I don't know why they didn't do that, Lee, because I've always said that, you know. Yeah. They could have just said, look, here's the jabs, you know. You go to your chemist, go to your doctor, they're there. Because people, it's like a child.
No,
you know?
No restrictions, no vax to get in here, vax to get there, and punishing you, blah, blah, blah. I reckon they've shot themselves in the foot, and that's why the numbers are so low. And you know they're struggling, and you know they're lying about the numbers, boys, because, and you've spoken about this as well, Adam, on your show, when you mentioned there was that video that they put out in Melbourne somewhere with one of those teen youth group things about these, you know, the two fucking lesbian girls. Let's go sneak out and get our jabs so when our parents don't know, you know, we'll have a vax date, all that sort of stuff. Why would you need to do these videos and convince all these people and the younger generations and, you know, to go and get these vaccines and stuff? Why would you need to do that when the vax rates are apparently so fucking high? It doesn't make sense. If they're so high and everything's going so well and they're cruising along, they're hitting their targets, why would you need to pump out that propaganda?
Much? Yeah,
exactly. Because they don't actually have those numbers.
That's right. I think it'd probably be half that. Correct. I mean, if I were to take a guess, instead of 95 in New South Wales, I'd be looking at maybe even less than 50. But, you know, it, a lot of people are getting them. I do see that. Yeah, I know that's true. Hard. A lot of people I know and around me, I definitely, absolutely. But as Ethan was saying, it's this whole, we just don't know what's what. It's all smoke and mirrors, you know. I mean, what they're telling us, you know. I mean, but that is really psychological stuff, because, you know, if you're being told that everyone else is getting it, people want to do what everyone else is doing. I mean, go and sit on an empty beach. People will come and sit next to you and start playing volleyball over your head. You're like, what the hell? There's miles of beach. What are you doing? Because they like to be around people. You know, everyone does. They, you know, and that's the way. But, you know, it does, unfortunately, I understand that it that will isolate people. It will make them feel singled out and lonely, and that if you're not getting it, you know, and I'm just not going to live my life, and I want to travel, and I want to do all this. So that's an important part of it to look. But as I said before, with a child, if you tell them not to do something, a teenager, you know, don't smoke, don't you touch those cigarettes, or don't you drink, you know, they're going to want it. So you got to find that way to tell them and balance that and how you educate them, you know. But it's a funny thing, it is, and it's an important point, I think, Ethan, that you've brought up there, because we're getting these staggering numbers of vaxxed and with all the social media outlets, and you're like, where are they? You know, we're being told everyone's doing something, and you go out there and it just doesn't seem to be happening. So this is psychological trauma or whatever, you know, through the mainstream media. They're telling you, they're creating that belief through the media. So, you know, if enough people take up that belief, then maybe they just really do start to see it around them. But, you know, if you can question things, you're sort of like, hang on, what the media is telling me is not translating in my everyday life. You know, so it is a very interesting topic. I do absolutely agree. 100%. It's a very funny thing, but I think we're, I think there's, you know, on the internet, possibly there's a, you know, there's a lot more AI than we would assume there is. And it really interesting. And I did note, I don't know if you're getting it, Ethan, on my channel on YouTube got nailed. So I've been over on BitChute and stuff, but I did notice before that happened, like about 6 months before or whatever, you know, you'd put up a you put up a podcast on YouTube, and it would go up, and within a second there's all these bot. You're getting that now, aren't you? All the bot comments.
There's been a lot of
It's amazing
targeting my site and comments all the social media.
Even in Telegram now, people are complaining of this constant spamming, and you're like, well, it's AI, you know, it's just unleashed on the internet.
And so. It makes you think, mate. Like, I was speaking of, in the last Food for Thought before this month's one, I was talking about machine learning and how they said that a lot of the COVID patients now that are being cared for and everything, they're being determined by AI algorithms. It's telling them when they need to go into an intensive care and stuff. And it's interesting about the media too. I remember reading years ago, I think it was the LA Times, they had the world's first artificial intelligence journalist, an AI journalist. So it was an AI algorithm that was able to write articles for them. So that was probably like 2016 or something like that, where it was starting to learn how to just put together sentences just based off of anything, just make stuff up, make it just coherent, explain something to the people. And it wouldn't surprise me if there's just an epidemic of AI things behind
it. It could be entire websites, mate. Even alternative media websites that you're getting info off, it could be all AI.
Yeah, it could be, you know, because
RooneysAustralia.com.
That's the worst one of them all, mate. Rooney's Australia. No, they it goes back to that concept too, you know, of that outside the box thinking of where if we are in a world where they're lying about our population and how many of us are here, then what is our reality that we're in? And a lot of this stuff might be a lot faker than we all believe around us. You know, there's a whole culture out there that just analyze news stories. Like, I've watched enough videos now that I'm convinced that almost everything you see on the news is just completely fabricated. All of these car accidents and babies being kidnapped and everything, like, there's been that many.
That Cleo thing's a bullshit one too, I reckon.
Yeah, all of that stuff, like, is all just
a lot of kids going missing during COVID stuff. Yeah,
and it's all just like trauma-based stuff. Like, oh, this person's died, and then all you see is just police officers standing around a pole or whatever, you know. And don't get me wrong, they love going out and getting the real stuff. Like, if there's a car crash and all that stuff, they're straight out there. Oh, a car has died or whatever. But when that's not going on, they just make stuff up to keep their perpetual trauma cycle going. Oh, another person's been shot and stabbed, and they just have police standing out in front of a house, and you don't know if that's real or not. But you then get this perception of the world. And I think that they do this too, because every news article you see now is meant, as you said, to cause that divide, to cause just mass discussions, to cause people to just go in at each other, then be extra annoyed by bots that are coming in as well that just seem to seize on all of those posts. It seems like there is a huge element to that. I completely agree. It's interesting to put that in perspective and look at the influence of machine learning. You know, I think a lot of people talk about artificial intelligence and they think of robots and all this stuff. And I think that's more of the sort of mythology part of it to get us to accept it. You know, like the Elon Musk, oh, if we can't beat him, we may as well join him, put a chip in yourself and be superhumans. I don't think they're at the stage yet where they've achieved what consciousness is and stuff. What they've done is achieved advanced machine learning.
Mimicry
algorithms,
and stuff.
Yeah, and just performance and speed and this type of stuff, and understanding based off of our data how to manipulate us individually. You know, it's no different to advertising that just pops up, advanced advertising now. If you think of something or speak of something, it pops up on your newsfeed now. It's that same type of thing. It's just advancing everywhere. And I think that plays a massive influence. So always be vigilant of everything that you can see. As always, we're at the wireframe mesh. We're just sitting here, guys, just observing and using one narrative to another. But as we've seen, it's all just grand narratives. This whole society is just a collection of narratives that people believe were real, that were based off of other narratives. And we can't really even trace back to what was before that, because it's just been just a continuous building process of narratives that people just believe that aren't really the real. And that's the world that we live in now. And it's just going to keep getting crazier. And I wanted to mention this, guys, just as a little bit of a interesting topic. Have you seen now the massive sort of normalization of male contraception now? I've got some info there. They've come out now talking about how heating up your testicles with nanoparticles, boys, might one day soon be a form of male birth control.
Oh, shut up and take my money. What? So, I haven't seen this. This is what?
So this is wild. I went down some absolute rabbit hole with this one. Just I couldn't believe that there's like whole discussions on this type of stuff. But we've seen for a few years now that they've been talking about with this whole feminist push and women's rights, that and how it's become very just psychological now. If you yell at a girl, it's classified as rape now, that type of stuff. Well, there's been a big campaign of, well, we have to do all this stuff to our body and take the pill and do all this stuff. We need new male contraceptive. So they've come out with a solution, and it's all to do around heating the male genitals. And they're talking about nano contraception, and where it says like nanoparticles that are 100 nanometers in diameter, or roughly 1,000th the width of a piece of paper or of a strand of human hair, can somehow be delivered to the testicles where they can be warmed. And this was an article by The Conversation. And there was another, like I went down this rabbit hole, boys, and I found this other article, and it was by this innovation in Germany, the COSO contraception, where it's pretty much a device, which is a ball bath, which you pretty much put your testicles into, and it heats them with ultrasound to make you infertile, the hormone-free system. And they've been doing studies on all of this and have said therapeutic ultrasound is a promising candidate for male contraceptive. And so how they've done this is they've experimented on rats, all different types of ways that they can just fry the testicles of rats. And the inventor of one of this actually said to himself, well, it's going to be a lot harder for people to, you know, be wrapped up with electrical wire and have their testicles heated. So we're finding ways that we can go inside of them to make this little nanoparticles, make them infertile. So,
and they're using ultrasound.
Yeah, using ultrasound, mate.
Covered that for years with Jim.
Jim West, yeah.
Ultrasound.
The very, very harmless. Yeah, very harmless ultrasound, mate, as we know. Wink, wink. But yeah, they're using that and these devices, and it's this whole push for male contraceptive. And it's interesting, I'll throw to you, Adam, to have a chat on this, on your thoughts first, but it's interesting, I also thought they've also talked about how this so-called COVID virus, or potentially what's in the vaccine, you know, how it mimics what this so-called virus does. But they've said in the mainstream literature that men that catch COVID, it normally is going for their testicles. And so I'm trying to put this all together in terms of a thing of, are we, Adam, going to end up in a future, mate, where people are just going to heat their testicles with ultrasound as just a normal way to get contraceptive? Forget the snip, mate. We're going to have our warming technique. I mean, talk about clown world, mate. What are your thoughts just on this whole world that is emerging?
Yeah, it's great. I don't have those articles in front of me. I could only comment on them. I haven't read them, but it looks... I was just covering an article the other night about this information in looking at pregnancies and, you know, stillbirths and women losing their babies after these jabs. It's massively high. And also problems with the testes and reproduction organs in men and males and all of this. So obviously we're getting this in the jabs, aren't we? You know, and if we are, we don't know what we're going to see in the next 5 to 10 years. That's the thing. And with these COVID inoculations, and I think this is where they're normalizing, as you said, Ethan, all these conditions that we're perhaps going to be facing, humanity, you know, they're already doing it around the heart conditions. There's yeah. lots of that going on. I was talking about schools in the US where they're bringing in doctors who are heart specialists and they're sending letters to parents, you know, that, you know, if we notice your kids have any heart kind of conditions and they're being vaccinated as well, then we have a specialist on board. So, you know, telling them and you're like, what? We see this whole thing. I've even seen advertisements on TV and in the papers and online where they're saying that, you know, young women can now just have these heart conditions and collapse the ground like the sports stars are doing, you know. They're just 20-something-year-old soccer players falling to their knees holding their heart area. I can't breathe. So, you know, they're normalizing that. And I think as this goes on and goes on, people maybe forget about what actually happened with that initial injection. Just like drinking fluoride every day. We always say that for your whole life. And when something you get something wrong with me, how are you ever going to trace it back? And this is what big CEOs of AstraZeneca and that said, you know, to ScoMo, he said that in 5 years, for example, you know, people start getting ill and getting dying. We don't want to deal with that. You know, we're going to exempt ourselves, not our problem, you know. So we don't know what's coming. But what I do know could be coming is this. You know, this problem with procreation, with you know, with all this, with our health, and that could be a huge part of this. Normalizing or not normalizing, but what you're reading out there with this kind of technology and heating the testes and all of this is insane. Because this is like smoking. You know, if you go back and have a look at the '50s and that, you got doctors in coats telling you to smoke Camels. And smoke if you're pregnant. And now look what they're doing with smoking. And this is the same thing. Now they're telling you that they've been telling us right through for years not to do that. You know, to wear boxer shorts and not have, you know, heat your testicles because it kills the sperm and all of this. Now they're telling you to heat your testes and all of this. So it's like they're implementing this whole sterilization program on the back of the jabs, but normalizing it at the same time and making it kind of, you know, okay. And that, you know, when it comes, people won't even know why it's there, you know. And exactly. You know, it's a sterilization program, but they're doing it incrementally, basically, is what I'm trying to say. And they're normalizing it, so it's at the end, you know, you just won't have children anymore and you won't even know why or care, you know. I think that's what it's all about. And there will be technology to keep you sterile. And it will be something maybe people will use. But we can see with what you're reading there and talking about that they're implementing that idea, and I've seen it everywhere. And it's come on the back of these jabs, which strongly tell me, and from what I've read and some very strong articles and videos I've seen, it's sterilizing people, these jabs. And that's why they're targeting young people now. And you can see in the US, they're about to unleash these mRNA, you know, shots onto 6-month-olds. I mean, 6 months? Mm. 6 month babies? I mean, are you kidding me? So we're going to get to the point now, if people allow this, that it's going to be basically, you know, in utero till death. These jabs are going to be part of people's lives if we don't stop this. And what's going to come on the back of that for people who do survive? As the technology, we've done podcasts on this, as that technology that's been injected into them, we've done a lot of this transhuman, I've talked a lot about this, Ethan, the transhuman aspect of this, where in movies like The Terminator, they're really showing you what they're doing, but they're adding in entertainment to make you think that it's just a movie. So you're not going to peel your skin open and there's going to be metal under there, but they're showing you this kind of merging with machine and man, or technology and man. They are showing you that. And I think that's a very important aspect here, because it's very slow. And I think they're targeting young people because of this. And I was saying this on a last podcast. I'm just wondering when that singularity is going to happen, when that technology, because people are having such extreme reactions with these jabs. Some people are dying outright. Some people are dying later. Some people are having terrible skin reactions. There's a million and one things, but I'm just wondering when it will come to that point later on where children are born and having this mRNA shots and these new gene-altering technologies injected into them, and when they will, you know, be completely okay with it. And I guess that's the connection with machine and man type thing. You know, so, you know, that's another conversation, I know, but looking at this, that is pretty insidious, and I've noticed it as well, definitely. And I think they're trying to already normalize what's going to happen to people in regards to having children and stuff, definitely, yeah.
And it's orchestrating the same psychology that we were talking about in terms of that soft approach, you know, just normalizing it, and they'll do it to themselves. And it's normal now, to the fact that they don't know that there was anything beforehand. And it's this, as we were talking about diseases and whatnot, this plays into that as well. General, I know it's sort of a funny topic, the ball heating.
General's doing it right now. A little spa bath.
He's going to plug them.
I've actually got Danielle's cupping my balls on how to heat them up. No, I'll tell you what, though. Kudos to that author. That's one of the greatest headlines I've seen in a long time. Great balls of fire.
If you could send that through to me, Ethan, as well, I'd love to pass that on to Jim. Yeah.
It's on the Skype chat.
Oh, nice. Thanks for that. I'll just shoot that through to Jim West, just in case he hadn't seen that.
He'll love that. Yeah,
have a read.
That's really incredible. Yeah.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it. But to be honest, Ethan, I haven't actually seen anything about male contraception stuff at all. This is actually the first I've actually seen of it, so I just haven't seen it in my daily travels, I guess you could say. What I have seen a lot of, though, on television ads and the normalization, similar to what Adam was referring to, it's more about infertility. Infertility normalization is now a big thing. You know, they've been pushing it in almost every sitcom and TV show that you see on TV. You know, like, there's always one that can't get pregnant and they've got to use a friend to be the surrogate and all that stuff. You know, they've been putting that in the zeitgeist for the last, you know, 15, 20 years on TV shows. And now I'm seeing ads on TV as well where sitting down talking about, you know, like, they'll have couples on the screen, you know, whether they're actors, they probably are or not, but... And they're always saying, yeah, oh, I didn't realize, you know, male's infertility is such a big thing as female infertility. You know, yeah, we're infertile. We've been trying. And they're really normalizing infertility of everyday people, because that's probably one of the hidden epidemics with regards to all this. And now, obviously, since they've been rolling out the COVID shots, they're pumping these ads out all the time. Because they need to quickly normalize it even more now. They need to have the younger generations, you know, that sort of 15 to 25, 30-year-old group understand. They need them to get it into their heads that you're probably not going to be able to have kids, and that's okay. You know, it's normal. That's a normal part of life.
The conditions, general, people may start suffering, and they're going to see friends suffering from that. They want to quickly normalize it as it appears.
We've been telling... My daughter, I'm saying to my daughter, like, this is what my wife was saying to her. She goes, you know, you're probably going to be the only one of your friends who can probably actually have kids, because they're all vaccinated. They've all had their shots. And, of course, my daughter hasn't. And we've been telling her that. We're like, because we're trying to explain to her, infertility is now rife, and these shots will also cause infertility as well, you know. Yeah. So we're trying to at least get that through to her head. You know, that's how important it is.
You know? And that's powerful, you know, like in terms of looking at your daughter and realizing that that's the potential reality that's coming. And it goes back to, and I think it's a good way to sort of round out the show with the discussion, because I didn't hear too much, you know, it was one of the lesser sort of responded podcasts of the season, but this concept of the PCP vaccine, I'm interested to get your guys' thoughts on it, because it almost sort of confirms the psychology behind what they're doing now, this concept.
The porcine vaccine, the pork vaccine, is that one?
Yeah, the PZP one, whichever its long name is. But essentially it's auto-immunocontraception that they use on animals.
Yep.
And, you know, they fire darts into wild elephant populations. And
I enjoyed that show, actually.
Wild horse populations and stuff. And it's the exact same type of schedule, two shots a month apart with boosters. And it's designed to cause infertility within the animal herds. And if we look at now, even just this ball warming story, they've done this on mice. Like, this is why I had to turn it off, because it was just, it said that they've done all different types of experiments on mice to get to this level. Like, the rest of them all just had exploding testicles and all this stuff, like all just mice being subjected to this stuff. This is what they do, and people don't believe that they do it on the human herd as well. When we know that Baller from Pfizer got his doctoral studies in reproductive biology from the Zoological Institute.
Yep.
And Aldous Huxley's brother, Julian Huxley, modernization of eugenics, the head of the Zoological Association and UNICEF and all of this type of stuff, studying animals. So for me, yep, it seems like it's absolutely about infertility. And I wanted to get your thoughts on sort of that, this concept, mate. It definitely seems like this is the case. And it also seems that, I think, and the message has been distorted by alternative characters, which could be even AI, as we were just discussing before, which from the very start spoke about how this is a death-kill program, how everyone's going to drop dead, how we're going to see all of this type of stuff. It's almost masking what the real agenda is happening, which we're not really going to see until, you know, we're going to see some ugly stuff in probably a decade's time, you know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I always... We've talked about it a few times, but I agree. I think that's one of the underlying things with regards to this. It's not about the quick, hard kill. It's the long kill, the slow play. They're always in this for the slow play. I've said this before. These got the people running this show, this social experiment, they've got all the time in the world. They can do this over generations if they want to. The timeline for them isn't a rush thing. It's sometimes it looks like they're rushing to do things, but maybe that's the... that's part of the trick. That's part of the sleight of hand, where they use it to slip in the slow play. You know what I mean? They're going to get us to breed ourselves out of, you know, to extinction in a sense. I know that seems like a bit of a paradoxical statement, but you know what I mean? Like they're going to get us to the point where we just can't breed anymore because of the current lifestyle that we're living. And that's, of course, that includes going along with whatever vaccination schedule they say we have to go along with or force us into, you know what I mean? Whereas the rest of us, you know, I've said this before, it's going to be up to us to help repopulate the rest of the earth. You know, the people that have not had their DNA modified, it's up to us.
But how's this, mate? I see a lot of people that are my age, especially, that, you know, the world has destroyed people so much now that people are also just scared to bring children.
Yeah, they don't want to. Yeah, that's right.
All of the sort of principled people are scared to bring children in to this, where this is heading and stuff. So we face that dilemma as well, don't we? Mm. Where people just don't want to do it. They don't want to bring them into this world and deal with that because they can't support them. It's all up against this stuff. We're all segregated now. It's almost masterfully designed how they've done it. And it goes back to this whole concept of there's two realities now. The great split has started to manifest, where people like us have to deal with these types of things about trying to survive and infertility and trying to do these types of things and trying to keep the species of critical thinkers alive, even though it's up against all odds, whereas the other people are just going to go about their business and continue to become more sort of doctrine and more sort of brain foggy. You know, there's a lot of people talking about, a lot of people that have the jab, that they know just it's all brain fog now. They're just not as sharp anymore at work, and it's just going to keep getting worse and worse as things go on. But it's two different realities now. It's two different realities that we exist in. Do you sort of see the same, Adam, in terms of how this is going? And the reason I bring this up is the PZP vaccine, they're adamant within their studies that the booster shots are the key. If the program doesn't work unless the animals get the booster shots, they don't become completely infertile unless they've got them. So I think that if you look overseas now, how they're just relaxing everything now, the boosters have been done, and now we're going through our booster saga. It seems almost as if once they get those first few boosters in, they've almost achieved their agenda, and most people don't realize. Do you sort of see the same thing, Adam?
Absolutely. And whatever percentage of each culture has been boosted up, then that's going to be a huge hit to future generations. You know what I mean? So that's absolute war against the people, you know, and if people are getting boosters and they're targeting young people and teenagers now and they're never going to be able to have kids, and you look at how many that may be, or the total population of what that may be in Australia, for example, and they're not going to have kids in the future, then that's you know, population control, 100%. And I hate to bring it up, but I will. AIDS was HIV causing AIDS was a psychological warfare program, same as COVID. It never existed. And it was done to make people scared of having sex. It was done to break the bond of a woman and man, you know, making love together, you know, and make them petrified that this grim reaper was going to get you and you were going to die, right? So there was a vaccination program with that we've discussed a lot, even before the 1980s in the US, in San Francisco and New York, where homosexual men were injected with hepatitis B vaccines, experimental, and were getting sick. We know that, in Africa, they were telling, you know, people who were just starving and didn't have clean water that they had AIDS, and bringing in, you know, and the drugs from the pharmaceutical corporations, and then they were getting AIDS, right? So people who were taking the drugs were getting it, and all of this, and so we had that whole thing going on. But if you look, and I was just reading the article there before, the Great Balls of Fire, and this new technology to sterilize men, using the nanoparticles and the ultrasound technology, and I did a show with Jim West years ago on this, that perhaps we were talking about, that perhaps, you know, in the future, you know, medicine or machines they use would be based around ultrasound or look like that, you know, this kind of systems, you know. And looking at this article is very interesting, and it kind of just made me think maybe the whole condom thing has been a training mechanism through these years, to train men into this new technology that's coming, because we know that, you know, this has all been planned for a very long time. And I bring in AIDS because I just think it's an important thing. They petrified people that you were gonna get this virus if you had sex with someone. And they had the advertisements in Australia in the 80s when I was a kid. I remember seeing them with the Grim Reaper, and he was bowling down the families, you know. It was horrifying, and people were scared, you know. And that's, you know, if you look at our sexual nature as humans and that contact between a man and a woman, and the you know, how special that is, and procreation, having children and offspring, and they have children and everything, it's such a special thing. And I think there's a war against this, not just on our immunity, but a war on us being able to even have families and breed at all. Absolutely. And that implies just 100% they will have so much control over people when they just can't have kids. It is a really sad thing. Even now, I was looking at a TV show the other night where it was just showing the lengths that women go to have babies, and how they get, you know, they go through all this stuff. And I was thinking, man, that must be an unbelievable experience, you know. When women hit their 40s and they want to have a child, and they'll just do anything, you know. But
and that's what they play on, mate.
Yeah, they do play on that whole emotional side.
Emotional side, as we've, you know, Jim West and everyone have done some great work on it. And it's interesting, you know, you mentioned all of this stuff, the training through AIDS, the condom training and everything. Yeah. Jordan Peterson said, and it was really fascinating what he said, people just don't underestimate how much of a revolutionary thing it was when any type of birth control come out. Especially the pill. The pill was the big one. As soon as we could alter the natural process of life,
that's
and
right,
take that into our own hands, block the process of creating life, that was a huge thing that completely fractured everything that we know about society. But most people don't realize that. It set a pathway to where we are today, where people are going to become infertile. You're only going to be able to be created through IVF technologies. Only the rich will be able to afford that. So the poor and the undesirables will all rot away and won't be able to breed anymore. And then from there, you've got complete control of that. The IVF companies, the big pharma tech, they've got control of that. And who's not to say they're not going to slip some of these nanoparticles into embryos and alcohol, just like they do in Brave New World. You're pretty much there at that point. And I feel like this is exactly the type of thing that they've been training people for. I think you put that so very well there, mate.
Plus over-sexualizing us with pornography and stuff, you know. You know, distorting what real love is and what sex should be, you know, just absolutely distorting it and, you know, over-sexualizing young kids, but sterilizing them at the same time, you know. So they want sex all the time, but it becomes meaningless. It's not an important, special, spiritual part of life anymore and to have a family. Yep. So they're just banging each other, you know, but nothing's there, you know, except ghosts.
Well, General, what are you going to do, General, with your children? Like, what they face a real tough road in terms of this type of stuff. What are you going to say to them in regards to this type of thing? And I know you're already talking about this type of stuff, but what is your mentality sort of going forward in terms of this notion that the next generation are really being targeted by this, not just by everything, but by what's going on in the world, the endocrine system, the poisons, all this type of stuff? What's been your mentality, mate?
Yeah, well, it's almost just playing a bit of a waiting game, to be honest, because I need them to be ready to hear it before I can sort of lay it all out on them. Like it's getting very close now. Like my daughter's 15 going on 16 this year.
Oh, boy.
So probably when she hits 16, I'm going to start to begin to I explain a lot of things to her, sort of drip feeding a bit of information, and you know, we're really getting in her ear about all these things, so she's definitely up to speed and on our side and not going to fall for the scam and all that sort of stuff, or able to see it when it comes up. You know, I just need to start planting those seeds, and then my son probably in the same sort of time frame, because you know, they're not kids, they're like, you know, they don't like to go out and sleep over with boys and things and in school, and have sleepovers with people we don't know and stuff like that. Just doesn't happen in this family. So like, yeah, we know we've got a little bit of time and we're okay with that. So, but that's what it'll be. That's the plan anyway, or that's the way I see it anyway. I haven't really actually directly spoken to Danielle about it, but it's like we have this unspoken agreement that that's sort of what we need to do, you know. And but yeah, it'll be that sort of that's the approach I will take for sure.
It's pretty crazy.
You just have to, because you can't raise them to be naive to what's going on. They've got to know, they need to know now. And what's that? There's a song. I wish that I knew what I know now when I was younger. You know what I mean? Like, you wish you knew these things when you were younger. You know, like, and I wanted them to know these things while they're younger. You know, so they don't have to go through that. They're prepared. That's it. You know, they can see it. Yeah,
that's it. To make them sort of aware of everything that's going on. You know. No, it's good, mate.
It's a good song by The Faces, by the way. Anyway.
It's crazy, man. It's just a crazy, because you've got to watch out as well for them going through their own stuff, you know, with other people that they meet, you know. I think we should go back to, I think the Indians and everything have got things right with all of this arranged marriage stuff that they've got going on, the parents selecting the right partner for their children and stuff, because you got to worry about all them going out and meeting people that are, you know, not as awake to this and falling in love with them and all the stuff they go through with that, you know. It's just going to be interesting. But I think, again, we shouldn't be scared of this. We should push through it. We should not say to ourselves, we're not going to have this happen. We should continue to push forward and say that whatever is coming into the future, we'll weather the storm and we'll push through it. We'll continue to live life and the joys of life that we can. And I think that that's really powerful as well. But yeah, that's all I really had to chat about on this episode today, nice. Boys. I was going to do a little recap after we all leave, just of the member weekend that we had, just sort of explain everything there. I didn't want to bore you guys by talking about that. So
I'm going to have to bounce anyway, mate.
Unless you guys have anything else that you want to bring up. Adam, is there anything else that you wanted to have a chat about, mate, before we quickly wrap up?
All good, man. I think we covered some great ground tonight on the show, and it's all about keeping the conversation rolling and, moving through and navigating and doing the best we can. And great work. Great work, you guys, on your websites and all your podcasts and everything you're doing as well. And we'll continue into 2022. Buckle up, folks.
I appreciate that as well. But can I just ask, I just want to make sure, because I listen to your shows all the time, mate. Yeah, I'm a big fan of your work, brother.
Thank you, man.
Are you Are you okay, man? Because I've noticed on some of your last shows, you're getting real angry. You know what I mean? Like, I hear it in your voice. You just seem to be a bit annoyed and a bit too frustrated. I'm like, and I'm okay if it's all good if you're just using your podcast as an outlet, which I do too. I use it as an outlet to get everything off my chest and stuff. But sometimes lately, I don't know. I've been a bit worried about you, man. I've been thinking, fuck, he sounds super angry. And I love it when you get angry and you fire up. It makes me laugh, actually. Not at you, but at what you're saying and stuff, because you really give it to these cretins. But I get a bit worried about you, brother. I just want to make sure you're okay.
I'm all right, man. I'm all right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
If you need to talk about anything, man, you get off your chest, you can give me a buzz, eh?
Yeah, it's hard. It's been hard. It's hard emotionally and family and stuff. It's hard. There's hard things, but I feel like things are getting a little bit better, so...
Okay, cool.
I do like getting up there, you know, and doing these kinds of show with you guys and stuff. Yeah, it's good. I don't have a lot of friends anymore around, and it's tough times, but you know, I decided to do the kind of nightly wrap-ups and just get on there and have a chat, and I probably sound a bit cranky sometimes, but
it's all right.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, it's dark content, but, you know, we're all learning.
Don't want it to get on you, man. I don't want it to feel like it's pushing you down.
Yeah, it's been hard. It's been hard with all these things that's happening. It would be good to have a little bit of a break and time off, but there's so much happening. And I just feel like we're at a really important part of history, and I just have to do it for my little one. I worry about her. She's six, you know, and I look at her every day, and I look at the way she looks at these people with these masks on, and I know she's had a couple of nightmares about it too, and it must be. I just think, God, when I was a kid, we had such a ball, and I was and I'm trying to give her
all this trauma. They're living trauma, aren't they?
Yeah, it's not good. I don't want that. So, you know, I'm trying to give her a childhood like I had, you know, kind of. And that's kind of making me wind back a little bit to the way I was when I was a kid, you know. I want to go back to that natural way of living. And I think this is what's happening with a lot of people. They're starting to look at this system and get spooked. And that's what we want, you know. We want to just say, you know what, I'm not going any further. No. Not getting your jabs. I don't want to go any further. We want our lives back. And this is what we want. We don't want to keep going down this path, because it's leading us all out into darker and darker water. Pretty soon, there's going to be no way back. And we've got to do it for our kids, you know. And I'm worried about her, not me. And so my worry translates into probably what I'm doing. But I worry about her so much. And those around me and people I care about, I worry about people. That's my problem, you know. I'm always going over things in my head, and I'm thinking about things all the time, and it does cause a bit of problems in personal life and just trying to live your normal life, you know. If you have a job and things like that, people ask, what the hell's wrong with you?
I'm coming from, though, hey? Like, we got to look after each other, like, because we're absolutely on this side of history, so we've all got to look out for each other. So I just thought of bringing that with you, man.
It's not easy doing all this, that we're doing.
It isn't.
It isn't at all. I hope people understand that what we're doing is not easy getting up here and doing all this. It's not. You know, it cuts into your personal time and your family and everything, you know?
Yep.
I struggle in the
personal
day.
Personal time? You know? What the hell is personal time?
It's really hard, mate. I can't do what I need to do on the website and do things. People think that you just hear podcasting all day. I can't. I can't do it, and I'd love to do more, but hopefully later I can.
That's why I try and do it fortnightly, because I can't do it like you do it, man. Like, I'm fucking thinking, fuck, he's pumping this content out, and same with you, Ethan. I'm like, I just can't keep up with that. I have to separate myself, otherwise I'll go absolutely insane. That's why I thought, fuck, it's coming across in the shows. I just got to lay it out there. I've got to be open and honest with you and just call it as I see it. So that's why I was just concerned for you.
All good.
I just wanted to put that out there. So if you ever need a chat or if you ring me out of the blue, man, you got my number. Just fucking, I don't care if you just got to dump a load of shit in your head and just get it out, and then I'll just sit there and listen. Like, it doesn't bother me, you know. Just, I'm here if anyone needs me, you know.
You're right, man. Should be okay. And I'm hoping, it's been a long time, but I'm hoping, you know, I'm not sure, so I won't say anything now too much, but I'm hoping towards the end of this year we'll make a move up to the Gold Coast. And I think that will be a good move for us. We've got a place there, and it will take a lot of stress off, because there's a lot of rental problems here and the business failing and things. And so, you know, I think it will be a really nice change for us. So when that happens, I'll let you guys know, because I'll be almost enough neighbor. So I'll go over to the general's place and he can brand me with a 4X on my ass. You know, and I'll be officially a Queenslander. But I may be a Queenslander, guys, by the end of this year as a family move up and have a little bit of a change. I'm looking forward to that. Things are just not working in Sydney anymore. So, it's nice to have a change and shift.
Cool.
And that. But well, it's been a hard couple of years for all of us. I'm just being honest, Lee, on the shows. That's the only way I can be. And sometimes it hurts a little. But, you know, I'm just up there saying, you know, I'm just giving my opinion on not only the news and the latest, but what I'm feeling. And it does help, even though it might not translate sometimes like that. Okay. It does help me to get it out. Yeah, like you guys do your shows. It really does, and connect with people like this. It's an important part of what we do and creating our communities and members and things and people who enjoy what we do. It's really important that we have this great, real, centered alternative movement here in Australia. It's not as big as what they have in the US and everything, but we have a really good group here in Australia, and it's fantastic. It's great to be connected with you guys, as always.
Hey, make sure you give me your address again, too. I don't think I've got your address anymore. I've got to send you. And same with you, Ethan. I still haven't got it off you. Give me your addresses so I can send you some stubby coolers.
Yep. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I'll do that for sure. Get some stubby.
I was in the post office today, and I went, I came back to the post office and went, shit, I didn't get it off Ethan. I'll go back another day. It's all good.
Are you in Brisbane, Ethan, as well, or out?
Yeah, he's close to me. He's only like
20 minutes. Oh, wow. Yeah, amazing. So many folks up that way. It's great. Really great.
Yeah, we've got members. Yeah. I know members of the site are coming up. Andy's just about to say. Yeah,
Andy's close by to us as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's really nice. And I know there's some great protests like on Surfers Paradise area that's all starting to build. So. Really good stuff going on up there as well. Great crews.
Yeah, I want to get up to a stand. They have their Freedom Festival like every fortnight or whatever, with Alona and a stand in the park and everything. Whip said he's gone to a couple and goes regularly. Seems really nice. I want to head up to one as well.
Yeah, nice there. Sunshine Coast, all that. A lot of great people awake, and the border protests and people seeing all of this. So it's really good stuff and positive things happening. I think we're in for a great year, as you alluded to, Ethan. You know, you get that kind of double feeling in your stomach, don't you? That you kind of got a bad feeling in your gut, but you got like a good feeling as well. That maybe that good feeling is perhaps that we're in a really critical point in history, and we're a part of this. We're actually here, right, and man. We're living it. It's amazing.
Well, I've got a term for that, mate. I'm just gonna start using this term. It's a apocaloptimist.
That's right.
So someone who knows it's all going to shit, but still thinks it will turn out okay.
That's right.
I like it.
That's right. It's really true. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, apocaloptimist. I don't know. I'll get used to saying that a bit better.
I might be the apocorealist.
Apocorealist, yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to bounce, boys.
Stay positive, folks, and we'll just keep going forward.
Absolutely. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. As always, make sure head over to krazfiles.com with 2 Z's. Make sure you become a member. Check out some of the fantastic work he's doing there. Make sure you head over to realnewsaustralia.com and the Patreon, patreon.com/realnewsaustralia. I believe I've got that right. It's all on the website if you want to check it out. But make sure you jump over, members, and support the great work of these two fine gentlemen here. But I appreciate you both coming on, and for the month of January into February now, we will wrap it up there, and thank you all for tuning in.
Anytime, guys. Chat soon.
All right.